Plicated Studies. The inconsistency of such an attitude is primarily one of wrong emphasis. He who does not start because he fears he will not live to finish will never live to start. A certain friend approaching his 80th year is on the verge of commencing the study of Spanish because he feels that it will be an important language during his next incarnation. An individual with such an attitude has surmounted a great obstacle. Too many live in the past and as the years roll by, consider the future as an ever-diminishing quantity. The realization of infinite futurity is indispensable to accomplishment. But it is useless unless accompanied by a definite impulse to make now the starting point of achievement. Pythagoras was well aware that inconstancy and inconsistency render valueless the greater part of human rumination. Hence he regarded the quality of exactness as essential to true mental functioning. He knew that a mind trained to recognize but one right answer to any problem in mathematics would likewise recognize that there is but one right solution to any problem in life. Yet Pythagoras was not fundamentally a mathematician, he was a philosopher, but mathematics was the first and sharpest of his tools. Mathematics is the supreme discipline in the science of knowing. More mystics have come into an understanding of the unseen side of life and realized the unfoldment of their inner perceptions through mathematics than through any other science known to man. Mathematics is the Pythagorean symbol of what the Buddhist terms the law, the procedure of being. Through number bears the intricate mechanism of divine will is disclosed, for nothing else reveals so patently the exactness of cosmic method and the immutability of cosmic ends. The vast field of manifestation is shown to be an orderly chain of emanations issuing from the incomprehensibility of first cause, and after passing through definite phases of change returning to that from which they were temporarily separated. Through mathematics a hypothetical framework is established by means of which the natures of all manifestations are analyzed and the modes of their directionalization determined. He who understands mathematics. 124 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. The Disciplines of Salvation. 125. Can never conceive of himself as existing in an unorganized universe nor regard himself as an exception to the immutable laws of being. Thus is established the realization of participation in all the activities of cosmos, and the glory of the whole is augmented as mathematics unveils the magnificence of the eternal plan. In music the real and the ideal are blended. The mathematical basis upon which the science of harmonics is founded ensures preservation of the principle of exactness. At the same time music stimulates lofty emotional reactions and thus ameliorates the austerity of numbers. While mathematics emphasizes the exactness of deity, music reveals the moods of the causal nature. Like a flowering vine twining itself about the harsher outlines of mathematical procedure, music softens and beautifies the angles of cosmic discipline. Many dream of the beauty of things as they could be, but only the philosopher can recognize the beauty of things as they are. To such as are able to lift themselves above the personal concerns of life, the concord of the all is apparent. When Pythagoras taught that men should depend not upon their ears but upon mathematics for the determination of harmony, he emphasized a subtle verity, namely, that the exactness of divine procedure is the absolute standard of harmony, and the order of universal flow is the perfect pattern of all rhythm. These are also the salient points of the philosophy of Taoism. And the ascetics of every age have striven to unite their own lesser natures with the harmonic procedures of divinity. Worlds, like atoms, arc in a state of ceaseless vibration, and this vibration shared by all manifestations is the mysterious Dance of Life. From the inner nature the study of music causes to issue forth a love for life in all its diversity. While math, ematics inspires offer the immutability of divine jurisprudence, music reveals the all-knowing lawmaker as temper, ing justice with mercy. Astronomy strangely supplements both mathematics and music, and in turn is completed by them. The author of The Merchant of Venice causes one of his players to say 126 lectures on ancient philosophy. There's not the smallest orb which thou beholdst, but in his motion like an angel sings, still choiring to the young-eyed cherubims. By the science of astronomy the magnitude of reality is established, for if the unreal stretches from time to timelessness, how much greater must that perfection be of which creation is the inferior past? Gazing out into the infinite from the anthill he calls the earth, man comes to realize the insignificance of his personality, but as the eyes of his inner reason open, he beholds the reality within through the transcendency of which he is made to partake of the glory of both the manifested and the unmanifested. In an effort to catch a possible glimpse of any stray gods who might be prowling about the fringe of creation, astronomers are fashioning ever larger and more efficient equipment with which to scan the heavens. A new telescope is now under construction by which stars of the 25th magnitude will be brought within the range of human vision. Thus, of all forms of human learning none possesses the power of astronomy to impress the individual with the realization of cosmic magnitudes. The contribution of astronomy to the attitude of toleration is incalculable, for from the time when Giordano Bruno gave his life that the heavens might be saved for astronomers, the insufficient god of theology was doomed. Equipped with the realization awakened by contemplation of the profundities of mathematics, music, and astronomy, the candidate, after spiritual understanding, may fearlessly knock at the portals of the house of wisdom and demand admission to the hidden house of the mysteries. To those just beginning to awaken to the immensities of life, philosophy is a very hard religion. At first, philosophy seems to be faith without sentiment, for it is not concerned with emotion in the ordinary acceptance of the term, having no time for the petty interests which constitute the life of the average individual. Philosophy, because of its concern over in finites and ultimates, seems distant and austere. Most indie disciplines of salvation 127. Vigils live in a universe of trivialities, spending their entire appointed span in the struggle for worthless trinkets. Such naturally desire and create a god concerned with trivialities, for their deity is presumed to be interested in the effect of early frosts upon the crops or the probability of the leghorns escaping the rope. He must also be invoked at conferences and hailed willy-nilly into court to act as sponsor for the integrity of those who testify. On Sunday he is likewise obligated to be in attendance at all the churches, not to mention the Wednesday evening prayer meeting. When philosophy attempts to dissipate this puerile concept of the causal agent, a great hue and cry goes up, and those who never had a god other than themselves cry out, "You have destroyed our faith, you have blasphemed our Creator, and you strive to take away our God." To such mediocre minds, philosophy is assuredly a monster who demands a degree of intelligence requisite for attainment which would require time an application far beyond their willingness to sacrifice for such an end. In reality, however, philosophy has a heart greater than all the hearts of the world, and it is most loving and most kind because it is most just. Philosophy, like a wise parent, occasionally finds it necessary to chastise its children. not in anger but in the realization that man himself has no enemy like his own uncorrected vice. The truly great Philos offers have been men and women whose hearts overflowed with love and understanding, but also they have been strong. And their strength lay in their recognition of that which was necessary for the good of all. Out of philosophy is born the camaraderie of the spirit. Philosophy does not grind the masses down to a state of bond age in order that it may elevate a few. On the contrary, philosophy is a mental democracy. Thought is not turned to the disqualification of one another, but directed by all to the common end of wisdom. The humanity of today opposes the mind that generalizes, for we live in an age of specialization. The fact that philosophers think in terms of cosmic immensity causes the conservative intellect to view them askance, while minds of small caliber are concerned with the issues of ward politics. The philosopher contemplates that camaraderie which he has discovered among the sparks of infinite being that fill the endless vista of beginnings and ends. The philosopher is a wanderer through the fields of space. To him the earth is a tiny oasis in a vast wilderness. Two or three palm trees, a little fountain, and a winding road, these constitute the caravansary where he rests between his daily journeys. To people who are selfish, who seek prestige and demand attention, who are superior to others, who feel that in their veins courses a noble blood, who believe that when God molded them he breathed upon them twice, while upon less fortunate mortals he breathed but once, to these and all other varieties of hypocrites philosophy is not pleasing, for it is the creed of honest men and can never come into its own until there are honest men. Philosophy stands for something infinitely superior to physical ical honesty, something far more difficult of attainment. It stands for mental honesty. It is the fellowship of those who understand, a brotherhood of as many orders as there are degrees of understanding. It is strange that in modern times, those who espouse philosophy are prone to grow either unfeeling or eccentric. They are inclined to become mentally lazy, trusting themselves to the laws of which they have but an insufficient concept. They cease that individual struggle which, after all, is the only measure of true greatness. They have not discovered that while law governs the universe, love is its administrator in the hearts of men. Hence, the knowledge of law is not sufficient. To such knowledge must be added the realization that we are the administrators of that which we know, and that within ourselves we have the privilege of tempering the blast of eternal glory so that the shorn lamb may not be destroyed thereby. Observation, discrimination, and concentration are prerequisites of knowing. It is first necessary to observe the infinite diversity of phenomenal being, then to discriminate between that which is primary in importance and that which is second.